So here we are, a week of Thanksgiving. So how y'all doing? Maybe you've seen those charts that show pictures of people's faces kind of showing various emotions. And then you're asked to kind of point to the picture that best expresses how you're feeling at the moment. The past 8 months, we probably have experienced all of them at any given point in time. And if you were to identify an emotion that you're feeling right now today, would you point to the one that says rest or peace? You know, in all honesty, I don't know if I could point to that one. But I guess then it depends on how you define the word rest. For many of us, our plans have significantly changed over the past few weeks, or maybe even the past week, maybe even over just the last couple days. About a month ago, you know, we were planning on having about 16 people over to our house for Thanksgiving this year. Today, it's going to be down to 3. Maybe 4. Probably 3. Things have changed. It is going to be a different kind of week. It's a different kind of a season that we're in right now. So, do I feel at rest? Do you feel at rest? Again, it's how we define it. To be at rest in my soul, is that how I feel today? Or how you feel? I'm at rest because I have peace with God. Because I know who He is. I could say, yeah, I'm at peace with God. So in that way, I can say, yeah, I'm at rest. But it's something that's offered to each and every one of us. I was thinking over all the various lessons for today. Read over and thought over the Old Testament reading for today, the lesson, and the New Testament lesson, the Gospel lesson. And then I read the Psalm lesson for today. And as I was reading through that, that really spoke to me. And I said, that's the one I want to focus on today for my message. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Let me read it for you. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And then it says, today, if only you would hear his voice. What we have in this first part of this psalm is an invitation to worship and to receive this gift of true rest. You could almost break the psalm into two parts. This particular one is a call to receive rest. And then the second part is really the giving of a warning. It begins, there's this invitation to worship. Worship God. Acknowledge Him to be the God who is the Creator, the God who redeems. God is the one who created all things. He's the one that preserves all things, holds all things together. God is also the one who redeems. He calls people out of bondage. He delivers people. He loves his people. He cares for his people. So because he is the one who provides for all of our needs of body and soul, as he would say, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Because who God is in our life. You see, that's where rest is found. It's found in God. And when we come to acknowledge who is ultimately in control and know that we are okay in his hands, there's a sense of rest in that. We do get a sense of peace. But that rest can also be rejected. And you think, well, you hear that. Why would there be a warning? Why would anyone reject that? And so it causes us to think, you know, why? Why would anyone do that? It says today, if only you would hear my voice. And the idea there is just don't do what they did. Don't do it. God offers people rest. In the garden, Adam and Eve were given peace, rest, opportunity. But they forfeited it when they rebelled and did what they wanted. And because of the subtle lies that they were told and then started to believe, they started to doubt. And in their minds, they went along with that temptation, the words that had been planted in their minds. Yeah, God is holding out on us. I want to be able to choose good and evil for me. I want to make that choice. And then God led Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And he promised them rest from slavery and bondage and rest in a new land. He says, I'm going to take you and put you in a promised land. They rebelled and threw the opportunity away. God had delivered them. They experienced it. He parted the Red Sea. They were able to walk out. He was with them all along the way. They come to the border of the Promised Land, about ready to go in, and then they hear words back from some people who had spied out the land. But all that they had experienced, God working in amazingly miraculous ways in the past, and here they are right now. But they could not believe or trust that he could do it again. And they were told, we can't do this. It's not going to work. Even though God said it could and it would. Now it's our turn. That's what this psalm is about. Today we are being offered rest. But it's more in complete and perfect rest because it comes in the message of the gospel. We have the peace of God's eternal rest spoken to us in the gospel. And the rest comes from the Savior, the one who comes to redeem us and to restore us. It's a rest that says you don't have to try and save yourself or prove something to God. It's a rest or a peace in our souls that isn't about the circumstances around us. Every day, God sends reminders to us of his love, his care, his provision. As it says there, we are under his care. God provides the food we need when we're hungry. When we're thirsty, there's water. He provides shelter and protection and clothing. He provides people in our life when we're lonely. And we reflect and we think. We say, God, thank you. Thank you. And all along the way, he's saying, just keep trusting me. Trust me. I'll take care of you. And then over and over and over, he also tries to say, remember when. He keeps focusing us in the past. He says, look, remember when I took care of. Remember how this worked out. Remember how I was faithful. And then a heart that has experienced and recognized God's faithfulness and his care responds. That's kind of what Jesus is driving at in the gospel reading for today in Matthew 25. Someone who's experienced love and care and protection and provision just kind of reaches out and shares with other people, their other brothers and sisters. And Jesus says, when you share with others, it's like sharing with me. It's done from a heart that experiences the same. We can call that thanks living. Living in gratitude, living in thanks for what we have experienced. See, a heart that's grateful, a heart that says thank you, seems to be a heart that is at rest. An entitled, ungrateful, thankless heart doesn't seem to be at rest. These past months have not been easy. They have not been easy. And all that maybe we have gone through or experienced this past year may make this holiday season of gratitude maybe seem a little off. So just this past Friday night, on the CBS Evening News, there's this feature that's done. It's called On the Road with Steve Hartman. And this past Friday night, they featured a thrift store and a food pantry in Kingston, New York, called The People's Place. And they interviewed some of the people there that had come to get some food and some resources and the like about where they were at this time of year and with regards to thankfulness and gratitude and stuff. And it was amazing to hear in some of these people what they were thankful and grateful for. And then they went and spoke to a man by the name of Gabriel. Listen to what Gabriel said. He says, as he pulled down his mask, he says, "I'm going to have an amazing Thanksgiving all by myself. I'm going to sit on a park bench, and I will think about all the great Thanksgivings I've had and be thankful for them. One bad Thanksgiving out of 63 great ones is pretty good odds. We need to be thankful for what we do have and not be constantly complaining about what we don't have." And it's interesting, as these interviews being shown, actually Steve Hartman was actually in his living room showing this clip to his own kids, and they were processing and talking through this together. And then he closes his piece by saying this: "So many I talked to had lost so much, but so many tried to keep an attitude of gratitude." You could hear it in the voices of those who were interviewed. There was a sense of rest and peace as they spoke those words. So simply and humbly and eloquently. The today of this psalm is this very minute. The you is you. Today we have the promise of God's eternal rest that's being offered to each and every one of us. I would say let us embrace the rest that he's offering. It's truly something to be grateful and thankful for. Because to be in this kind of rest means we're at peace with God. Why? Because of who he is and what he has done and what he provides. Knowing full well he does it because he loves us. That can give us rest. It's kind of a thanks living rest offered to all of us. So maybe the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.